these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so we are beginning, as I said, our third week of this series. And well, I'm hoping that some of you are becoming butterfly experts. I talked about Jenny kind of being the resident butterfly expert, although she does not want that title. But she taught me a lot about the monarch butterflies. If you're new here today, though, I want to bring you up to speed. So we're working our way through the life stages of a caterpillar to a butterfly. You've probably learned this in school, most of you, but we talk about how from an egg we have a caterpillar, and the caterpillar, I learned this from the preschoolers at chapel on Thursday, the caterpillars gorge on leaves. They eat and eat and eat and eat leaves. And as they're doing that, they're also, they molt a few times, sometimes up to 4 or 5 times. But eventually, the caterpillar, after gorging on those green leaves, ends up spinning a silk to become a chrysalis, or you might know it as a cocoon. And oftentimes that chrysalis, if it's a monarch butterfly, can be found on a milkweed. Now we talked about how when they're in that chrysalis or when they're in that cocoon, it's kind of a dark place. Sometimes it can feel uncomfortable. But we also talked about how dark places feel a little bit more safe. And we talked about how we used COVID as an example, or I used COVID as an example, that, you know, we kind of withdrew ourselves into our homes because that felt like a safe place. And sometimes in our lives, it's comfortable to be in those dark spaces, to be away from the threats that surround us or the insecurities we might have. But God calls us to leave those comfortable spaces. And as the caterpillar goes into the chrysalis, something interesting happens. Actually, it sounds kind of gross, but the caterpillar becomes goo, like literally becomes goo. I was reading that some people said if you opened up the chrysalis, when it's goo, it's just like caterpillar soup. There is no form to them. And there's a whole lot of things we can talk about feeling like goo, right, or coming across goo. But as we leave our comfortable spaces, those cocoons that comfort us, sometimes we turn into goo when we think about having to do something new. But the really cool thing is, this is what I love about God, because he's so creative, is that he didn't let the caterpillar stay goo. He put what they call liminal cells in the caterpillar, and those are still intact, even when it's goo. And all those liminal cells then create the parts of the butterfly, which today we have a monarch butterfly. So today the encouragement for all of us is to open. It's time to open. It's time to release ourselves from the chrysalis or those dark places and open to the light of Jesus Christ. So there's a quick tutorial on what we're talking about. It's not an easy process, but each life stage mimics our own life stages at times. We begin, like I said, with a caterpillar in which there are varying opinions of whether they're cute or not. But when a caterpillar is born from an egg, I was talking about how they eat lots of leaves. And then remember last week, I had talked about those imaginal cells that help them build into a butterfly. And when they become a butterfly, they can't contain themselves in that chrysalis. They emerge and display brilliantly colored wings for all to see. We'll start showing some of those beautiful butterfly wings in our sanctuary as we continue in this series. So maybe the point is that the story of faith is not one of arrival, but of journey. Those moments and that caterpillar's life are important. Every moment in our life is important, whether it leads to something new, which it often does. The new butterfly struggle to push out of its confines produces a fissure that cannot be undone. And Jenny was also sharing in with the preschoolers and myself about how they, when they come out of the chrysalis, they can't move their wings until, is it the goo? Tell us real quick. That's right.
Why it wanted to, because it was too heavy. So that made the butterfly that is abdominal muscles, but they contract and push all of the fluid from the abdomen into the wings so that the wings can open up and dry off, and then the butterfly can fly.
Spoken like a teacher. Thank you. So, yes, yeah, swollen abdomens until they can push that fluid into their wings and start to fly. But even all of those just minute details, God has created and solved, you know, where we may say, well, I can't fly. I mean, God has a purpose and a reason for why those things happen. So the last couple of weeks, we have also talked about ourselves, like I said, choosing dark places, in our lives, whether we live in it or maybe we're trying to escape those dark places because it just doesn't feel good. At times, though, they're comfortable, aren't they? It was kind of comfortable for a while, staying at home and catching up on Netflix and different movies and playing board games. We talked a lot about how we felt more connected to our family whom we live with. Even though there was that disconnect maybe with the outer world, there were a lot of really creative ways that people connected living together. Whatever we might feel, just like the caterpillar and then a butterfly, the point is we are pushed to move and change. We find ourselves constantly transforming into the image God created us to be. Just as a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, we too are reminded in our own faith journey to open to the light of Jesus Christ. The post-resurrection story of Jesus opening the hearts of his fellow travelers along the road to Emmaus invites us to be companions of the one who will open us into the light of a new day. We have a wonderful example with the Abington Youth Choir, as I learned that they also were able to travel during COVID, and this is a new experience. You're coming into the light of in-live singing for people and engaging in worship in a brand new way, and that opening into a new way will give you much growth. But the first thing the story of the road to Emmaus has us deal with is grief, right? So the grief of the disciples as they traveled to Emmaus, apparently from Jerusalem, where they bore witness to Jesus' crucifixion, that had to have been raw. Think of all those emotions you would feel having witnessed that. Earlier in Luke, the scripture says they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. The shock and tragedy of it all, the sadness of losing a friend, must have taken a lot of time to discuss. I imagine them, conversing, saying, I saw this, did you see that? Or what I saw, did you see that too? Comparing what they had seen to make sure that they weren't a little too crazy. Little did they know that Jesus was discovered having risen from the dead that very day. The friend, the dear friend that they thought was dead, had already risen. We are on the cusp of everything being incredibly different at this point in the story. They thought Jesus was still dead, but Jesus had just risen from the dead, and he appears to these disciples, and he challenges their very understanding of reality and reveals to them reasons to hope for incredible things, things like the literal undoing of death itself, There is no going back. Far beyond the embracing of new radical teachings, now the disciples are faced with a cosmological reality that the one they call Christ had defeated death. It sounds silly to even say that he defeated death. There's no going back. You can't go back after realizing this is what Jesus has done. You can't go back to Jesus as a rabbi who performed incredible signs. Jesus wasn't just their teacher. He wasn't just the one they call rabbi. Jesus is Lord. One thing worth noticing here is the process. The disciples start out just walking, and they encounter someone they deem to be a stranger. And as they proceeded, this stranger interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. They still did not know who this stranger was. And even as they continued to journey, finding themselves facing evening, it wasn't until the stranger broke bread with them that they noticed that he was Jesus. You know, it takes 10 to 14 days for a butterfly to fully form inside a chrysalis. And then the casing splits open and a new creature must begin to emerge. The butterfly can't say, whoops, I'm not ready yet. Because once the chrysalis splits open, it's time to start emerging. There is no unhearing the truth the disciples learned on the road to Emmaus. And after meeting Jesus again, there is simply no going back to being fishermen who live simple, uncomplicated lives. There is a vital and cosmic story that must be told. And it has to be told now. This journey to Emmaus mirrors our faith journey in important ways. It was a journey not taken alone. It had several mysterious encounters with Jesus. It involved eating together, and it resulted in their minds being open to understand the scriptures. When the light comes in the chrysalis, the butterfly gets its first taste of air on wet and crumpled wings. How can it help but to start the process of coming forth? The story is the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and the only thing left to witness is Jesus' ascent back to heaven. How do you keep an encounter like this to yourself? Just like the butterfly cannot deny the opportunity to get out of its chrysalis when the shell splits open, there was no denying the call upon the disciples' burning hearts once they encountered Christ. An interesting line of inquiry for this week could be, what changes are happening in our church that are difficult to accept? Maybe we're grieving them. What is cracked open? And even though we wish sometimes we could go back, that is just not an option. So how can we move forward with the reassurance that Jesus is with us? There are times in our lives that we must learn to see the world differently. Caterpillars have limited vision and are only able to sense changes in the intensity of light. But when they become butterflies, they are gifted with a completely new eye structure that allows them to form images and take in a huge range of colors, even more than the human eye. So let we who have limited vision in this life be reassured by God's presence, even when we cannot know what lies ahead. Let us open ourselves to the light of enduring hope. The story of faith is not one of arrival, but of journey. The new butterfly struggle to push out of its confines produces an event that cannot be done. That butterfly cannot go back inside that chrysalis to become a caterpillar again. Once it is a butterfly, it is a butterfly. There is no going back. The journey to a new existence has commenced. The post-resurrection story of Jesus opening the hearts of his fellow travelers along the road to Emmaus invites us to be companions of the ones who will open us into the light of a new day. Another way is even more directly connected to where we are in this emerge metaphor. Because when the disciples met Jesus after his resurrection, there was no turning back. The story was too irresistible not to share far and wide. Where can we find the passion in our own lives and churches? And in what ways can we re-encounter Jesus like the disciples did, so that minds might be open and we too will find our hearts burning within us? Because once the cocoon is open, there is no going back. So it should be with a transformation we are invited to undergo as disciples. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I invite you, as we move to our song of praise, to stand with me as we sing together. Sorry, once I get the bulletin. Open the eyes of my heart. Please stand if you are able.